came to bring maturity. And to these Gentile believers, the law was a foreign thing. But he's speaking to some people who understood the law. They understood this was the purpose of the law. Tell you a little story here. Is this, in some cultures, you are married by an arranged agreement. Okay? We did that in our society for years. It had political reasons. It had all that other kinds of reasons. And I sometimes think that arranged marriages aren't so bad. If the parents have the best interests of the kids at heart. Because come on, I think as parents, we make much better decisions than our kids. Except don't tell your kid that. So it wasn't all bad because there was an arranged marriage. But anyway, in some cases, it could be abusive. And this woman in the Jewish culture found herself married into a arranged situation. And she was promised by her mother, just fake it till you make it. Work at it, you know, keep a good attitude. You'll eventually fall in love with him. And she got married. And he was a perfect person. Perfect man. We'll call him Mr. Law. He did everything exactly right. And he had a written out agreement, what she had to do every day when she got up. And she would come into the first morning, she came into the kitchen all enthusiastic to follow the recipe of exactly how the breakfast should be cooked. To discover he was already there to remind her that she was 3 minutes late. And while she was cooking the breakfast, he was reminding over her shoulder that the eggs had been broken and they shouldn't be. And the toast had been toasted for 5 seconds too long and had gone too brown. And he was there to show her that she wasn't doing perfect because he was perfect. Now, if your wife sitting here this morning saying, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a standard where under that system of law, we always felt inferior. We always felt inadequate, like we were not qualified. So, along comes this other man into her life who we'll call Mr. Grace. And Mr. Grace is, he has the same high standard, but the difference with him, he's willing to go in and do it for her. So when she arrives for breakfast in the morning, breakfast is still at the standard of perfection because he doesn't require a lower standard. He requires a higher standard, but the difference is he's made it and he's done it and he's finished it. No, she hasn't married him yet. She just knows this about him because she's still married on this side. Let's call this marriage married to the law. And over here, we married to grace because I know you guys understand grace, okay? So yeah, we're married to grace. But she can't leave this husband and go there because that would be adultery. But she falls in love with this man, as you could understand why. So how does she cross over from this marriage to that marriage? Because she's fallen in love now. Love makes you do stupid things, eh? You know? Love is a beautiful thing. Love definitely gets you crossing around. Even got Janet proposing to me 30 years ago. She, you know, love, you say things you have no idea what the ramifications are. You don't know. You know, you say for the rest of my life. Yeah, what is that? You know, how big is that? Well, you know? So they find a way to get out of this marriage into this marriage. They have to die together. Because only if she dies is she released from this marriage and she finds this new marriage where she's married to someone with a high standard but where there's no judgment, condemnation, and fear. Now you know what I'm talking about this morning because we've been studying these things for some time now. That under an inferior religious system, we were always running around trying to dot the I's, cross the T's, jump through hoops to impress God, please God, get more from God. And although we were Gentiles, so we weren't strictly speaking born under the law, however, Christianity had its roots in Judaism, so the temptation was, because that was the furniture, of the new covenant, the church would mix these two covenants, which she did superbly well. And many of us know what that means. But let's carry on reading, because Paul, interestingly, uses the same illustration as I did. Isn't that amazing? Gee, thanks, Paul. Okay. So you know the law that has authority over man as long as he lives. Verse 2. For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So, my brothers, here's the main point, okay? Here's the main point. So, my brothers, you also died. Who died? We died. To the law through the body of Jesus Christ. When Jesus died, we died. When you put your faith in him, his death was your death. His perfect recipe became your perfect recipe. His perfect life, as the only person who lived the perfect life, got put into your bank account when you put your faith in his death. Okay? You died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead in order that we may bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law, because the more she told him, he told her not to do this, not to do that. After the years, she got worn out. And something in her stubborn, rebellious nature came out of her. That the very law that was intended to bring righteousness actually stimulated sin. Were at work in your body so that you bore fruit for death. But now, say but now. By dying to what once bound us, we've been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Wow. There is so much gospel in this passage, friends. There is so much in this, understanding the two different marriages, understanding that when we were left feeling condemned because we weren't matching up, always feeling like we were failing and falling short. You know, you go outside, you got a puncture. Oh, that must be God trying to teach me a lesson because I had some bad thoughts. Living with a judgmental concept of God, always out to get you. To die to that mixture of covenants into a relationship of knowing his death was my death. His perfect life was your perfect life. When he cried out and said, it's finished, you were crying out and saying, it is finished. His perfection became our perfection. We've moved into a new relationship with God where there's no fear, there's no condemnation, there's no judgment. But here's the thing. So that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. She did some good works for the wrong reason, because they were controlled by law. We get to do some good works on this side for the right reason, because they are controlled by the Spirit. Look, Ephesians chapter 2 calls this new way of serving. In verse 8 it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Say amen to that, Lord. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of work, so that no one may boast. You could not get saved on this side, in this marriage. Okay? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We found ourselves in a new covenant in Christ Jesus. For good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. When did he prepare these? Beforehand. What did he prepare? These good works. God's got a good work for you. God's got a good work for me. And these good works, you see, the danger is, the moment I hear good works, my brain wants to put me back in this marriage and think, oh, there I go again. Same thing, different language. No, it's completely different. There it was to get from God. Here I've got from God, and now, as this wife in this new relationship where she's already been qualified, she gets to say, now I've got some stuff to do. I want to roll my sleeves up. and found out what is the purpose, what is the destiny, what is the good work God has called you to walk in? And who walks in that good work? You walk in that good work. What is that good work you've been called to walk in? Well, you know, Steve, maybe it's just a figment of my imagination, and what if it's just, you know, kind of a good idea and not a God idea? Well, I don't know. Just get on with it anyway, because God can steer a moving cycle. You know, the bicycle, as long as it's moving, he can guide it. Don't get too caught up, is this a good work or a this work or that? Just get on with the good work that's the desire of your heart, and then let him steer it and guide it. But there's something you've been called and given as a good work. And the person next to you is not going to walk in it. Your parents aren't going to walk in it. Your neighbor's not going to walk in it. You're going to walk in it. And I'm here this morning to tell you, my friends, and myself, and this church, that we got some good works that he's prepared. There's a good work waiting for Howard. I'm building on the prophetic word that I was away last week, and Terry shared it, a word that came through our apostolic team. Rob was here last year and spoke about the shift that's taking place and the good work we're going into. I'm telling you what, it's for such a time as this. We've enjoyed this marriage. We've needed to detox in this marriage. We've needed to read our Bibles differently in this marriage. We've needed to have our hearts changed in this marriage. But I tell you what, this marriage is so that we can bear fruit. This marriage is so that we can serve in the new way of the Spirit and not the old way of the written code. Come on. Yes, thank you, Lord. So, what I want to do this morning, I want to give you 5 things that can help us to complete this good work that we've been given. Okay? Can you take 5 things? I'm sure there's a lot more, but I want to give you 5 things. 5 things that can help us complete this good work. Number 1, labor. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10 says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain." Hallelujah. "On the contrary, I labored," say I labored, "harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was in me." You see, this principle of labor, which is my first point that should come up now, this principle of labor has been given to me not as a swear word. You know, work is not a swear word. In the same way that the finished work of what Jesus did, the finished work of the new husband on my behalf, wasn't so that I could become lazy. Are you tracking with me? What Jesus, when we talk about the finished work of the cross, that's not a synonym for a self-centered, lazy lifestyle. I labored, Paul says. That is an action word. That's a working word. But if it's something that's becoming out of the Spirit, chatting to Mark and Bev, we were out sometime, I can't remember. They do the God's Cupboard. Isn't that a blessing to the church to know that there's food being set aside for people who are really at the end of their measure? And he just commented to me. He said, you know, every week when they come and pack the stuff out and get motivated to do it, he says it never feels like hard work for them. It feels like a joy. But I know there is a work involved because it's labor. You've got to take out things and unpack things and set things up. That takes labor. You see, some of the good works that we call to are going to need some labor, are going to need some work, are going to need some effort. And some of these good works that we've got are intended for the local church, some are intended for our communities and our families, and some are intended to change this nation. What good work has he called you to? Because whatever it is, there's going to be a measure of labor that's given to you. Did that first scripture come up? Okay, the second one, Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith." Say run. You got a race to run. If you want to complete this good work that he's given you to do, this good work that the Spirit wants to lead you into, there's some running involved. I know one of the life groups ran to Monzi this weekend. I saw you back, Alec, you guys, and from the life group, and Nigel, who took up a whole lot of water. Thank you, church. They were able to take up 500 liters of water to a community where the taps are running dry up on the north coast. And the group could go in and serve. The life group went in and served in this orphanage and painted and set up things and gave themselves to ministering to the young people there. I don't know how you call that, but they were running. They were running there. I'm quite surprised to see you ran back in time for Sunday morning. And they ran back, and they didn't have to, but they chose to. But there was some running involved. Let me tell you, to do what Bill's doing, with all due respect, Bill, at 70 years old, is he's not running away from his destiny and purpose. He's running towards his destiny and purpose. Because 70 is the new 50. And when they used to say, you 50, that sounded old. But it's actually quite young when you're on the other side of 50. And we might run a little slower, but we run a lot cleverer. We might run a little bit, you know, more hobbly, to use my wife's ingenious word here this morning. We might hobble a little bit, but we're a lot smarter. And a little bit of wisdom has crept in, and we still have many good works in our 70s, our 80s, our 90s. I'm telling you, church, there's a reason I look around and see a lot of gray hair here. And I rejoice with the gray hair, because I know that God's best days are still ahead of us. And there's some mountains to go and take. And there's some comrades in the spirit to go and run. And there's some amazing races. Yes, yes, Rich and Heath. There's still some more amazing races for this church to involve itself in. Because running and laboring are not swear words. They are words that come out of the life of the spirit. Amen. Thirdly, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, I beg your pardon, Philippians 1 and verse 27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, Paul speaking here, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit and with one mind, striving side by side, say striving, for the faith of the gospel and not frightened by opponents. The faith that came through the gospel produced something in them that was worth striving for. Now, I know when we were in the wrong marriage, we did some striving that was dead works. And we're so scared of ever striving in dead works again that if we use the word striving on this side in this marriage, we want to get shot. Or stone, or both. But you know what striving means? Striving means to strive. I know that's very deep from my Greek studies and my theological studies, but to strive is to strive. And we strive, say, side by side. It says we're striving side by side. That means you're part of a community in your striving. That means you're part of relationships in your striving. We strive for the unity of the Spirit, because it's through that unity that we're going to show the principalities and powers this awesome gospel and this change in our world. But there's a striving involved. We prayed for Dave and Louisa this morning. They are a great example of people who persevered at keeping relationships together in the church. But it's come at times of striving. But not a striving that is in this marriage, although there was a stage where there was some mixture. But there should be a striving that comes in this marriage, which says, I'm not ashamed to be striving for something I believe in, which is the unity of the body. Which when we say, hey, we're going to come together for a meal on Sunday and sit around and worship together and allow the gifts to operate, that's a priority, that's a value, because I'm striving for something. Are you tracking? I'm striving for unity in a body, in a church. That's part of working out my good works. I come into Durban. You know, I noticed the Shark supporters must be the worst in the world. When everything's going well and the Sharks are doing well, the stand's full. You go there after they've lost a few games. And what is here in Durban? James? Is it a proper... am I right in saying that? Or it's a fickle Durban. Fickle Durban supporters. I hope none of that's crept into the church. Well, I believe McDonald's having a special this week. I thought they'd taste some experiment. Hang on, I'll first go to... It's kind of this like fickle go with the crowd, wash this away, what? There's no like, I'm going to strive for the unity of keeping our family together. That's one aspect of striving. Fourthly, 2 Peter 1 verse 3. Read off with me as it comes up. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through the sinful natures. Doesn't that sound a lot like this marriage? Doesn't that sound a lot like being in grace, in a new covenant? But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, and for this reason, because you're in this marriage, make every effort. Say, make every effort. There's an effort that we make when we want to get things done. Hey, Rich Heather, when you guys got that idea of having an amazing race in the church, there was a little bit of effort involved. Not as much as the play that you did in the years by and you got delivered of that, praise God. No, they got so burnt out from that. I think we were in a mixture. No. The next play we're gonna be out of. My wife is very angry with me now. She's saying I'm whipping you guys. I think you are doing a great job in showing effort and amazing races. And another couple I'm seeing are making an effort. The end of last year, we got invited to a random supper evening. Gary DeWitt, Gary and Pauline, just went around to some random people in the church that we would have never seen connected in one home and said, let's have a bra. So you ended up with a whole lot of people who didn't know each other, but by the end of the evening, they were all best buddies, and they all got together now recently this last week because it was a birthday. And I thought that's all it took to make a little bit of effort to see out of some work involved, relationships of being formed. And I'm picking on some people that have just come to mind to show that there are good works in the church that make a difference. And we can either side ourselves with those who just want to criticize and complain, or we can side ourselves with those who are saying, with a little bit of effort, a little bit of labor, a little bit of striving, I can actually see fruit and enter into a good work that God's got for me. There's a gift in you, my friend, that this church needs. I prayed for you this week. I pray for you every week. And I say, God, the gifts you've given to this church are by no chance. And there's some shift and change coming. And I don't want to say too much this morning, but I know there's some new things in the atmosphere, and there's some new things that are going to be happening and reaching different communities and some in our city, some out of our city. But all that's going to revolve around you finding what your good work is. What is the good work he's called you to? Because that's what you have to walk in. And that's why I believe this message I'm sharing this morning is catching that change of season of saying, wow, let's never lose the joy of this marriage in grace. But if I think all that means is sitting on my blessed assurance, and it's a synonymous for being lazy and independent and unsacrificial, I will never walk in the good works that the Holy Spirit has declared and decreed over my life. So you're going to be hearing me saying this a few times. What is the good work that he's called you to? Amen. Give you a final one, because I see I've lost a few people here this morning. Romans 6. Verse 16 says, do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey? Either sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. So when you're in this covenant, you are obeying sin, because the law put the spotlight on sin, and it actually stimulated it. Although there was a sacrificial system, you were in bondage, and slavery was an ugly thing. You got put on a box at an auction stand. you got beaten, you got the teeth knocked out of your face, and it was an ugly picture. And he goes on and he says, but thanks, say but thanks, be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. Have we been committed to a standard of teaching? A standard of teaching which is the new covenant that is not either under the law or a mixture of a law, but a new covenant that says, my righteousness is in Him and there's no guilt or inferiority or condemnation ever again. And I come obedient to a new standard of teaching. What is that teaching? That teaching, my friend, is the Word of God. It's the apostolic writings. I don't have to be scared when I'm in this marriage to read these verses. Because these verses show me how to live out the good works from a place of grace and not a place of being under the law. Yes, there is a striving that's under the law. There is even an obedience that's under the law. Yes, there is a laboring under the law. But this is not what these scriptures are talking about. These scriptures are talking about being in a new marriage where I've got good works that He, the architect of His church, has commissioned for my life. And when I align myself with those good works, with an attitude of I'm going to put effort into them, some of them I'll need to strive, I'll have to see some commitments through, I have to live sacrificially at times, but I'm doing it out of this marriage and not that marriage, or a fear of being caught in between, we will see the fruitfulness that He wants. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Obedience. Bob Dylan said it very well. Well, he sang it. And he said, you're going to have to serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I love it. I love it. I mean, he doesn't have to preach. He doesn't have to preach. He's just got to say it right. You see, we get to choose who we're going to serve. If we serve under religion, there's death. If we serve in a mixture, there's confusion. But when we obey the teaching we received, there's life. Come on, let's say thank you, Lord. There's a teaching that we have been committed to that transforms. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. My dog loves going for a walk, but the best is when he's got a leash around his neck. Or else he just goes wild. And he had to learn some obedience. Some of us learned obedience through our childhood years. Some of us didn't. Some of us had to learn obedience through our teenage years. Some of us didn't. Some of us are still struggling with obedience. But obedience to this form of teaching, my wife goes to heaven with the halos. I go with all the sheep out. You, my friend, have got a good work waiting for you. Now, I know there's some people sitting here this morning who aren't even sure they're in this marriage. They don't even know if they are born again. And we can pray for those people. But then there's people who are in this mixture stage. I don't know too many Jewish people here, so there's no one who's properly under the law or religion, like the Muslims and Hindus. But there's a lot of people in this gray area that are still transitioning out of a toxic mindset of a mixture. But then there's another group of people over here who are so scared when they read these verses, they want to tear them out their Bible. Instead of embracing them with joy and say, come on, Holy Spirit, you've prepared some good works for me to walk in that aren't according to the written code, but according to the new covenant. And I've got a work to do in my community. I've got a work to do in my church. I've got a work to do in this neighborhood. And Lord, if I stay in step with you, these things that you've planned for my life, I'm going to walk in them. I'm going to find joy in them. I'm going to find release in them. They're going to bring life. I'm going to walk in here with a smile on my face. I'm going to come running back after my striving and labor and hard effort with a smile, because there's a satisfaction in God that comes to those who find His destiny. People ask me all the time, so what's the vision of the church? I don't know. I don't have a vision for this church. Sorry. I'll tell you what I do have. I have a picture that the destiny of this church is wrapped up in every single gift that he adds to this church. That when those gifts are finding their place and adding, running, serving, striving, making every effort, obeying, laboring to their calling, that's the vision of this church. Because then we'll be everything he's called us to be. And then we'll multiply. Then we'll be fruitful. Then we'll be, more will be the offspring of this marriage than the offspring of this marriage. And I know we've camped a while. I know we need some detoxing. Our camping days are over. Sorry, sorry all the campers. Our camping days are over. The amazing race has just begun. And you have a vital part to play with your gift. In this church, and in your community, and in this nation. Can we stand up? So first of all, if you... Heather, can you come up and help me out? I just think better when I've got music in my head. If you're standing here this morning and you don't know what I was talking about, because you don't even know if you're to walk out this place today and meet Jesus face to face, whether you're born again, then I'm going to pray for you. Can we pray for you right now? If you don't know that you know that you know that you've put your faith in Christ, in His blood, in His resurrection, and that you have come into a place of being married to Him by death, burial, and resurrection, then I want you in your heart right now to say, I do. Can you say that? I do. That's all. I'm doing a wedding later on this morning. They're going to come out later, and some of their friends are going to join them, and I dismiss the service. And all this couple are going to do, you can see them smartly dressed here this morning. They're going to come up here and we're going to make some promises. And then they're going to say, I do. That's it. You say, I do. And that's all you say to this new marriage in Christ. I do. So if that's you now, just bow your head and say, Lord, I'm yours. I want to pray for another group of people that they're caught somewhere in between. Yes, you have been born again. You don't know what all this fuss is with this new language we're using. But you want to grow and change. And you want to come into a marriage of joy. I want to pray for you. And I want to pray for some people who are in this marriage of joy, but they've lost their joy because they haven't found out the good works that God has prepared for them. So I want to pray for all of us that we will find that good work. Can I do that? Can you take the hand of the person next to you and help me as we pray now? And I want to pray for you. I want to pray through you for those hands that you're holding. Come on. If you're not holding someone's hand, unless you've got a real issue or phobia, take a piece of paper and... I mean, I don't want to make people do things, but I do feel this is a vital time in the life of this church. And you're not here by accident today. I prayed for you to be here today. Like I've never prayed before. That you would be here today. That you. Because the wind has changed and we have to tack into something fresh. So would you say over the person's life next to you, Father God, I thank you for this gift. I thank you for this amazing gift that you have given this community, this church, this nation. And I agree with them this morning that the good work that you've called them to is going to manifest. That they're going to walk in it. And they will look back in the years to come and say it started there. It started when I said yes to that good work that He called me to. Holy Spirit, would you just come and breathe over your people this morning? Breathe over your body. Just breathe upon us, because this is what the Holy Spirit produces. This is not a Stephen Jan outfit. This is not a Highway eldership outfit. This is the body of Jesus Christ, of which He is the head. And His Spirit will blow fresh life into our lives here this morning. Come, Spirit of God, just for the fresh baptism, fresh life, fresh love. Deliver us out of a fear of going back into a bad marriage. We're never going back into a bad marriage of mixing law and grace. Never. We have moved too far ahead. And I've waited 7 years for the last to catch up. But now we're moving into what God has got for us. There's a change that's happened in our big change. There's been a big change. But there's a change that's happened in that change. So Spirit of God, would you birth that this morning? I give up now. I've done my part. But Holy Spirit, would you do your part? Come and transform lives. Transform mindsets. Breathe vision where there's no vision. Bring hope where there's hopelessness. Bring joy where there's just become drudgery. Breathe upon your church, Lord. For this is our hour to rise up and say, for this purpose, for such a time as this. Shabakabasabata. Thank you, Lord, for the many amazing gifts you put in this church. Those who serve us in music on a Sunday. Those who serve us in the logistics around the church. Those who make church happen Monday to Sunday, so we're part of a family, part of a purpose. And thank you for the gifts, Lord, here that are making a difference in the marketplace. Who are going out into business and facing difficult odds and challenging times, but are walking by faith for the good works that you have. And we pray that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And you would cause prosperity and favor to break out in the marketplace, break out in the business, new ideas, creative strategies, creative ideas, new marketing measures, new products. 80% of the jobs of the future haven't even been created yet. And we pray, Lord, that you would facilitate through us a kingdom people, kingdom transformation. And let the lost find Jesus. Let the lost bow the knee to the Savior. Let those in religion be delivered and brought into freedom. Let those who have been bullied by sin and guilt be set free into amazing grace. And all God's people said, amen. 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 Let's give the Lord a thanks. Thank you for being patient. We went over time a bit, but wonderful. Have an awesome day.